around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's a great joy to be with you, to come into your home, your office, your automobile. Maybe you're jogging or riding a bicycle with listening to us on an iPod or whatever those inventions are. I'm not that familiar with them. But you got some earbuds in and you're listening to the Word of the Lord. And that's the reason we preach uncompromisingly. Now, you can always hear truth without the truth being corrupted. Never before has there been a need for the absolute, pure, unadulterated truth than there is today. You witness the lying politicians, how they lie so profusely, and they lie without any consciousness and conviction in their lives in any capacity. But they have a place awaiting them called the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I was watching a little bit of news over the weekend, and I witnessed as Trump calls wicked, lying Hillary corrupt Clinton. And I watch the habitual lying. And as a Christian, I sit there and I say, where is your fear of God? Where is your fear of standing before God one day and having to give an accurate account of your life, your lifestyle, and for that fact, all of your statements? You know, if God took 100 years to judge everyone whose name that is not written in the book of life, and that would be a billion years or trillion. What is that compared to eternity? Eternity is endless without time. It's infinite. These finite minds cannot grasp, neither fathom, eternity. Only God, Isaiah said, inhabits eternity. One day you and I will inhabit it. Once we die, we're no longer mortal creatures. We are eternal beings, and we will spend eternity somewhere. Before we get back into Matthew chapter 4, I want to play a beautiful song simply entitled Notified. Did you know when we pray, especially if we pray in the Spirit, heaven is notified of our needs? Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let me requote that. I kind of butchered it up. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Simply put, the Holy Ghost, He always knows how to pray correctly and without error. You see, James 4 tells us plainly that sometimes we can pray and we can ask amiss. We ask amiss. James 4:3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust or your own pleasure. Our desire should be solely based upon God's will. Listen to the words of this song, Notified. Thank God heaven is notified by the Holy Ghost when we have needs in our personal lives. Great to know that whenever we're facing opposition, heaven without doubt has been notified of our needs. Philippians 4:19, Paul said, but my God shall supply all of your needs through his riches and glory through Christ Jesus, his Son. Everything that you and I have need of has been supplied. There's nothing lacking in your life unless it would be your faith in Christ, the Son of God. But Paul said, but my God, not just any God, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by or through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. I'm so glad I know him as my Lord and as my Savior. Amen. I want to go back today. We've been addressing how Satan tempts. He's very subtle, needless to say. Genesis 3:1, and the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. And Satan wants to challenge God's authority, God's right to be believed. He wants to challenge God's right to be believed. I want to pick it back up from Matthew 4. We closed yesterday with the devil taking Jesus up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. Again, if you do not have my book, Revelation 13 revealed, you need that book. He wanted Jesus Christ to create a premature abomination of desolation and thus cast himself off of the temple. That would be an act of the pride of life. That's one of the gates. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, after he did that to Jesus and set him upon a pinnacle of the temple, Jesus responded from Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We spoke yesterday how Satan seeks to tempt us, and the word tempter here in Matthew 4, verse 3, simply means to make one evil. To make one evil. Satan desires to make you evil. That's his heart. He's evil. He wants you to be evil. Then the Bible says, lastly, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You see, at the end of the day, it's all about satanic worship. It's all about satanic worship. Satan, in Luke 4 and verse 6, and the devil said unto him, Jesus, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Satan was promising to give Jesus Christ all power, authority, dominion in the earth, because Adam forfeited that through his fall in the garden. But Satan forgets, obviously. But Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You see, it was a lie. At the end of the day, it's always a lie from Satan. John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Every lie that's ever been told by Bill or Hillary Clinton, Satan fathered it. Satan fathered it. Let me go back to John 8:44. I only quoted the second portion. Jesus said in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. People lie because their father is the devil. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible. The earth is the Lord's. Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. God owns it all. David said he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, all the gold, all the silver, all the oil, whatever is in the earth, it is the Lord's. Satan, as I said, uses three channels: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He came to Jesus trying to tempt him so that Jesus would succumb to temptation and then lust. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James 1, verses 13, 14, 15. I quoted those yesterday. Satan, Diablos, said, I'll show you all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. You see, he emphasizes the temporary glory of this earth. This earth is so tenuous and so temporal. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That was a prophecy. Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. There'll be no more sea, S-E-A. Not the holy sea that the Pope talks of or speaks of. Grammatically, I may have erred there. But there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And that's why that holy city, New Jerusalem, can then descend out of heaven from God as a bride adorned for her husband. God will not suffer that new city, New Jerusalem, to come and inhabit a corrupt earth. Because remember, the earth will still maintain the spirit of death. The last enemy, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, the last enemy that's to be destroyed will be the enemy of death. 1 Corinthians 15:24, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death will not be destroyed until the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And I hate to be crass here, but those of you who do not believe in a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ, you do not believe the Bible. Revelation 20, verses 4 and 5. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. I mean, my God, 1, 2, 4 times in that passage, the word 1,000 years is addressed. 4 times. When you don't believe the word of God, you're treading on very tenuous ground, sir, ma'am, whoever you might be, when you say, I don't believe that. When I release this new book in the coming weeks, New Jerusalem, the Mother of Us All, you talk about shaking up false doctrine that the church is the bride of Christ. I expect to be assassinated, obliterated, eviscerated, because all of my pundits say, well, the church is the bride of Christ, yet they have absolutely not one Bible verse to verify that or authenticate that. Oh, it's a metaphor. You better get off the metaphors and you better get back into the Word of God. I said, you better get off of your metaphors and get back into the Word of Almighty God. Revelation 21:2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21:9, and there came unto me one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials full of the 7 last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. New Jerusalem is the bride, the Lamb's wife, not the church. The church is masculine. Satan. 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul said, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. That's the first thing Satan done in the garden with Adam and Eve, was to corrupt the word of the Lord. Never seen such a time with such corruption. Totally despicable, this corruption. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. I am amazed in how so many people do not believe the Word of God. There's a YouTube video now of Andy Stanley, Charles Stanley's son, who said the Bible is not even real. Your faith cannot be based upon the Bible. God told me 4 years ago in January, on a 21-day fast, he said, my word is going to be challenged as never before here in the last days. Do not deviate. Do not compromise. Keep preaching my word. Preach it with power and authority, and don't dilute it, nor pollute it, nor corrupt it. Everyone else is doing that. And that's a rhetorical statement, not everyone. But for the most part, you can't hear a pure, unadulterated word without some kind of corruption from men twisting the scriptures, the word of God, as Peter said, to their own destruction and damnation. Now, I know this kind of preaching does not sit well with most people. But I'm not running for some political office. I'm not looking for your vote. I'm not looking for your affirmation. 2 Peter 3:16, as also in all his epistles, Peter said all of his epistles. Whose epistles? Paul the Apostle's epistles. Speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, W-R-E-S-T, twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Remember, I always tell you the word therefore means as the results of, as the results of what? Some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, or they twist, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, the word therefore again means as the results of Paul's epistles, some things are hard to be understood because there are those that are unlearned. Not talking about education. We're talking spirituality here. The Pharisees, the Sanhedrin perceived that Peter, James, and John were ignorant and unlearned men. Peter's writing this and uses the term, which they that are unlearned and unstable. Secularly in the world, Peter was described as an unlearned man. Peter's not talking about unlearned secularly here. He's speaking about spiritual or being spiritually unlearned and unstable. I've never seen such instability in people. You know why? You've got to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God to be strong. That's why so many people fall for so much heresy and erroneous false teaching. I'm amazed how these mega churches, lying, two-timing, spiritually fornicating preachers abound. That was a mouthful. They are fornicating with you. And they subtly use God's word to fornicate with you because it's another gospel, another spirit, another Jesus. We better get strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The way Satan tempts us, as I said, is through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You see, God commanded Adam and Eve in the garden concerning this tree of good and of evil. He gave them commandment. Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. I like the way the original Hebrew said it. Dying, thou shalt die. Man was forbidden to eat of a particular tree. So surely, after 40 days and 40 nights, Matthew 4, verse 2, after 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. Satan witnessed the hunger, the physical hunger, the physical need for sustenance in the physical body of Jesus. And he said, why don't you turn these stones into bread? The temptation was not a manifestation of power to turn a rock into a loaf of bread. the temptation was to depart from the will of God and obey Satan, thus negating God's authority and God's right to be utterly and totally believed. This is why Satan came to Jesus, Christ being incarcerated in the form of a man, Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Jesus had to take on the nature of a man so he could die a natural death. You've heard me say this, angels do not die. They are eternal beings and creatures. So Jesus had to take on the form of a man so that he might die a natural death. Of course, the crucifixion was not a natural death. It was a heinous, brutal beating. But even then, he said, no man takes my life, but I lay my life down. So Satan was tempting Jesus to depart from the will of God and obey Satan. Now, this is why you're going to see here in the end an acceleration of satanic and demonic worship. It's exploding exponentially, even as I preach this word to you today. Revelation 13:4, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? They're going to be mesmerized by his deadly wound as it is healed. So Mr. John Hagee teaches and preaches the Antichrist will be shot and raised from the dead. Of course, that's all lies. The Bible is clear. He's not shot. He's not killed. But he receives a deadly wound, and that deadly wound will be healed. There's a difference in a resurrection and a healing. I submit to you, Satan has no resurrection power. He has killing power. How do you like that for a golden nugget today? Jesus said in John 11:24, I have not quoted that in a long, long time. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I'm not just the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Now, Satan has power to kill. But he doesn't have power to resurrect. Man, this is some good preaching today. This is off the charts preaching today. Not because I'm doing it, because it's the truth. Satan has the power to kill, but he doesn't have the power to raise the dead. How do we know he has power to kill? Job 2:6 says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he, speaking of Job, is in thine hand, but save his life. We know that Job suffered much loss. The devil killed through the Sabaeans. He killed his ox, his sheep, his asses, everything that Job had. Satan killed it through the Sabaeans. He also created a great storm and killed all of his children. And then there was another scenario wherein fire came down from heaven and burned up his sheep. But you never witness, you never see Satan raising anyone from the dead. That's a revelation to me, folks. I just got that in my spirit today. I've watched him kill. You've watched him kill, maim, whatever the case, the scenario might be. But he has no resurrection power, because Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. Only I possess that power. So this deadly wound of the Antichrist is healed. I've preached for years, the devil can put something on you. He can afflict you. The messenger of Satan buffeted Paul. If Satan can put it on you, he can take it off. I want you to listen to what I'm saying today. This is some real meat and potatoes. His deadly wound is healed. Mr. Hagee, you preach heresy. I've heard you say it. You need the book Revelation chapter 13 revealed. How did Jesus overcome the devil? How did Jesus overcome the devil? The book of Deuteronomy is better known as the book of obedience. Every time Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8:3, Deuteronomy 6:16, and then Deuteronomy 6:13. You can read all of those verses there. When Jesus said, "It is written," he's quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch. Every temptation that Satan wielded against Christ, Christ overcame it by the word of God. Satan always wants you and I to doubt God's word. Satan wants you to doubt what God said. This is why there's such error, such mass confusion in the body of Christ, the church today, because there's a lack of a pure, unadulterated word from God. There's no unction, there's no anointing, there's certainly no power in preachers' lives today. And I'm telling you, God is done with denominations. Because they're all corrupt. They're part of the harlot, whorish system. Satan wants you to doubt God. He wants you to doubt the Word of God. He wants you to question what God's men are preaching. Don't think for a minute Satan wants you listening to me. He'd rather you listen to Andy Stanley, Joey Osteen. He'd rather you listen to someone that's going to shear you like sheep, strip you, and cause you to grow weary and faint and fall into the snare and trap of the devil. That's what Satan wants. I got an email from Steve Quill yesterday from somebody said, "Steve, thank you for turning us on to Pastor Lankford. Quote, unquote, he rocks." He rocks. Well, I don't think I rock. But if they want to use that terminology, so be it. But I preach uncompromisingly. Now, I've done shared with you only God knows how many verses today in this simple yet anointed deep message. You see, Satan's closing temptation, he wanted worship. This is what this is all about at the end of the day. Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom you shall serve or worship. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve. We're going to worship Jehovah. Well, not this old boy. I'm not going to fall for the devil's traps. I'm going to stay focused on Jesus. You see, Satan doesn't want you being like Joshua. But I'm going to emulate Joshua. I'm going to strive to be like Joshua. It's, you see, at the end of the day, it's a choice. Jesus was presented with a choice. Adam and Eve was presented with a choice. Who is lying to me, God or the devil? Satan wants your heart. He gets to your heart, your seat of emotions. He gets to that through your mind in being a purveyor of lies. And have I ever been lied to before by many, many people? That's why I've broken fellowship with certain people. That's why I do not go to certain conferences. I am not going to be unequally yoked with people who do not embrace truth and righteousness. You see, the devil knows the truth. But the devil will give you 9 parts truth and inject 1 part lie to corrupt it, to take away the purity, the chastity in truth, malign it, distort it, corrupt it, dilute it, pollute it. Satan habitually seeks a method in corrupting God's word. Jesus was our example. Jesus did not capitulate. He did not fail God, his Father, and fall under any of these temptations, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Boy, that lust of the eyes, that was the last temptation when he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Boy, people today get their eyes on the wrong thing. You better keep your eyes on the prize. You better keep your eyes on the prize. Romans 13:3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You've got to keep pressing toward the call that's from on high and the prize. What is the prize? Eternal life. Eternal life. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Christ is calling you and I from on high. Now, Satan wants you living your life looking in the rearview mirror. Now, so many people become perpetually snared because they're always looking in the rearview mirror. Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You've got to forget the past. Now, I know sometimes that is profusely and arduous and difficult. I would not argue that point. I've often wondered, how many times did the devil lambast Peter? Why, you cursed and you swore you didn't know Jesus, and here you are trying to preach Christ. How many times the devil lambasted Paul the apostle and said, you hypocrite, you held the cloaks of the man who stoned Stephen. You remember Revelation 12 and 9, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Now, if he can't get you to fall by himself accusing you, he'll get a so-called brother or sister to falsely accuse you. And buddy, there's a whole lot of that going on. Mm-hmm. Satan, the accuser of the brethren. You see, he's always slandering us. That's really what that means. And buddy, Satan does not let up in slandering the people of God. He slanders. He accuses us. He lies. Oh, boy, does he lie. And that's why Jesus said, those that are of their father, the devil, they lie as well. Old Slick Willie said the other day, Hillary was better equipped, as Obama said, better than himself and Obama. Well, now she may be better equipped and lying. You see, and I want to be careful here because I don't want to offend any woman listening to this broadcast. But Jesus, let me say it more correctly, Satan deceived Eve. The woman was deceived. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest that by any means as Satan or the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Satan beguiled her. Adam, God said, transgressed. But the woman, he said, was deceived. And my point is here's a woman, Hillary Clinton, who I personally believe is totally, utterly deceived beyond, I don't think any of us today could ever imagine the enormity of her deception. I mean, this woman, I mean, you know, they've done Saul where the other night when she was doing this forum, she had a plant, something, a mic in her ear. People was helping her to lie. There was a little, you know, a little microphone, and they were feeding her lies. First Timothy 2:14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression, notwithstanding she shall be saved. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived. Adam knew the truth. some people, some theologians believe that Adam partook of the fruit with her so she would not die alone, because she was taken from a rib from his body. There was an attachment, an affinity to Eve that I don't think any of us could even understand in the natural. God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, took a rib from his flesh, closed up the flesh, and he made a woman from his side. But then, because the woman was deceived, then God says to Eve, when he's meeting out punishment to both her and Adam, he says in Genesis 3 and 16, "Your desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee." Now, why was that? Why did God put that? He's simply saying, Eve, you will now be subject to your husband because you were deceived. Now, a godly woman is not deceived. A godly woman sees clearly. A godly woman who has a godly husband willfully submits and wants her husband to be her covering. She wants her husband to be her covering in all things. She doesn't want to be tooting her horn or this or that. She wants her husband. 1 Corinthians 11 and 3, Paul said, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." I've witnessed this. I mean, I've been a preacher for nearly 40 years, been married nearly 35 years. A godly woman yoked up with a godly man, she wants her husband to be her covering, her protection. She has no problem in godly submission. She has no problem with godly authority. Why? Because she's a godly woman. Her nature is of Christ. Submission. And when a woman is godly, her husband has no problem in loving her. Did you know we as men are told to love our wives, but our wives are never told to love their husbands? Ephesians 5 and 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Paul tells us as husbands, love your wives, but we don't see in the scriptures where wives are told, love your husbands. Because a godly woman will love a godly husband. And the greater the love between the two parties, the greater the unity, the greater and strength of the marriage, the greater the anointing that they carry together as one. But I look at this Jezebel called Hillary Clinton, and you see a lying, deceived witch that desires the highest office of government. Isn't it amazing, as this nation has become more vile, wicked, and corrupt? And this is not a slam or castigation against women, but look at what we're witnessing. Look at the gravity. Look at the magnitude. You see, if you want to understand what she will do, go back to the book of 1 Kings and read about Jezebel. Read about the spirit of the harlot church in Revelation 17. Read about the woman, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. This is the woman. Remember, she was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones, pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. This is why Revelation 18:4, God says, "Come out of her, my people." This is why this new book that I'm writing speaks of spiritual adultery, spiritual fornication, because the church is the body of Christ, which is a man, and men anatomically enter into women. So he says, come out of her. You see, this is all by design of Satan and desirous to bring in a new world order. He wants to bring it in. And I am sad to report unto you today, it's coming in. It's coming in. Now, the $64,000 question is God going to give you and I a opportunity to repent? I appreciate Donald Trump saying, I want to make America great. But Donald Trump, you cannot make America great without incorporating God. God is great. And Satan may be well using this as another means and method to take us down the same path, but in a different venue. I don't know. Believe you me, I pray for America. Because I believe my prayers will make a difference in this nation. Maybe not for all, but for some. Some may be saved. Some may come to Christ. But I want to encourage you today. Set your affection on things above and not on the earth. Colossians 3:2. I pray today that no lady listening today or whenever you're hearing this program was offended. I'm not here to offend. I'm here to open your mind up to biblical truths. And I know Satan desires to corrupt the truth. So I want to encourage you to press in and seeking the Lord. We pray that the programming is becoming better. We're working in the studios. I hope our audio is becoming better for those of you listening on Blog Talk Radio. We're still trying to iron out a few bugs. This stuff does not happen overnight. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support. Thank you for standing with my wife and my son as we untiringly work to preach an uncompromising message from the Word of God. Thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. And I mean that from my heart. I don't want to ever be unthankful of God using you to bless the voice of evangelism. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Have a great week, what is left, in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.